Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Jim Blasingame, he's the cyber king of small business. Search Google for small business expert, and he's tops on the list.
I guess that makes you number one.
He's number one on Google and number one in our hearts.
Aww.
He's Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after. Thanks very much for joining me. Thanks for staying with me. My pleasure to continue to be with you. And I'm very excited about our next guest. Our good buddy Stephen Baum is back with us, ladies and gentlemen. Stephen is the author of What Made Jack Welch Jack Welch. He's also one of the top leaders of the Vistage organization, leading, helping CEOs like you and me in his area to put their best foot forward in the marketplace and have the maximum opportunity to be successful. And I'm glad to say he's our good friend, Stephen Baum. Welcome back to the show.
Really glad to be here, Jim.
It's good to have you back, as always. Stephen, one of the things that we started talking about today a little bit is this idea of what's the workplace going to look like in 10 years. I just had a conversation, as you know, with our good buddy Bob Kuska about that. I think you were listening to part of that.
Yes, I was.
As you look out over the landscape and see the sort of the trajectory of some of the people you deal with and what their issues are and where you think their solutions are going to be, what do you think about all that?
Well, there were two things that stood out in your conversation with Bob. One of them was this idea of the hologram of the boss showing up every 5 minutes and asking how they're coming.
Yeah, I like that idea, don't you? I got to get me one of those.
If you want to demoralize and discourage teleporting workers, that would be the best way to do it.
Yeah, I agree. Everybody knows I was teasing. Go ahead.
In fact, human nature is going to be with us for a very long time. We don't evolve real fast.
You know the problem with humanity, don't you, Stephen?
The technology moves a lot faster than the change in human nature.
The problem is the humans.
And if you're going to manage people who are 3,000 miles away or half that or whatever it is,
yeah,
and your business, your leadership model is what they used to call Theory X, which is telling people what to do, how to do it, and when to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's just not going to work. You're going to get people who don't want to work for you. You're going to get the people working for you you don't want working for you. You've got to have a different model.
You're saying the micromanagers are going to become extinct.
I think micromanagers will be extinct, yes. I think there'll be some human nature. There'll be some people who'll try it anyway, and they're going to find their fortunes falling.
Are the people we're going to be managing, Are they going to be stepping up to the ability not to be micromanaged? Isn't that an issue?
Not every single individual out there in the workforce is able to do any job in the corporate scale in the company. But there's an awful lot of folks there who can handle more than most people give them credit for.
Mm-hmm.
And the deal is that when you're meeting with somebody, if the thing that's in your mind is only how do I get this task done, and you're not thinking about what the effect will be of your having this conversation with the person working for you, you're losing the chance to grow them, to test them,
right,
and to get them, as the Army used to say, to be all they can be.
And you know,
if you take that attitude of micromanaging people all the time so that every time you meet with them, they're thinking, this guy's going to grill and drill me, you're not going to get the most out of people, and you're not going to have the right people working for you.
Right. One of the things that's interesting to me about small businesses, I think there are fewer micromanagers in small businesses than there are in big businesses. And the reason is because the top managers in small businesses have got their own wagon loaded. They got more than they can do, than they can say grace over themselves. And in an organization like small businesses are, where we have too many hats to wear and not enough heads to put them on, micromanagement is really a loser. It's we already know that's not going to work.
Well, I'm not as optimistic as you are to give credit for the small business folks that they don't want to micromanage, because there is a drive, there is a motivation that makes somebody a small business owner in the first place.
Yeah.
And they're intense, they're impatient, and these characteristics have made them successful.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't want to spend a whole lot of time getting something done that they could do better themselves.
Yeah, that's the problem. You've got to learn how to delegate and let it go, don't you?
Very hard to do.
Yeah, it's difficult. But that's when you do that, though, and I've seen this, and you have too, you've seen a manager flourish. You've seen them leave the ground, so to speak, when they learn how to let that alone, to let that go.
Well, you know, I have a private coaching practice, and I coach people who own businesses or are CEOs, and I've had a couple in the last 2 years who were limited by this characteristic. One was a woman who literally was doing what we used to call her as manager of every function rather than CEO. And that's the way her people felt, and
yeah,
it limited her upside because she had, as you said, not enough place to have hair on her head.
Yeah.
I mean, there was way too much.
Did you help her solve that problem?
Well, here's what we did.
Quickly.
Up with two things.
Hold on to that thought, Stephen. I got to take a quick break. We're going to come right back to that after these messages, and we got more to come. Stephen's got some other great ideas that you and I need to be focusing on as we move into the new decade of the century. 2010. I'm Jim Blassingame. We'll be right back after these messages. Little Joe Cocker bringing us back, 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame. Thanks very much for staying with me. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check it out when you get a chance. If you're on Twitter and you want to follow me there, I'm at Jim Blassingame. Don't forget, by the way, when you're at my website, don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter. Stephen Baum is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. B-A-U-M. Stephen with a P-H. He's the author of What Made Jack Welch. Jack Welch, he's our good friend and our guest this half hour. And we're talking about the micromanagement syndrome. And Stephen, one of the things I've talked about over the years on the show is this very topic where I remind people how good people who otherwise would be good managers, maybe even in a former career, they had been good managers and pretty, you know, pretty effective, successful managers. And then they start their own business. They're the founder of a business that didn't exist before. And for the first year or two or three or however long, they do all the jobs, and some of the jobs that they do, maybe no one's ever done. They literally invented that task or that job in that industry, whatever it may be. But if they want to grow, they know they've got to delegate. And delegation means that it's not going to get done as good as you. You're going to be able to leverage other people, and that's good. But the jobs aren't going to be done perfectly like when you do it. And that hurts a little bit sometimes, doesn't it?
That's very hard to get over. But it is one of the biggest limiting factors in somebody growing themselves, somebody growing their business. And they have to come to some sort of understanding, as if they have somebody who's 90% as good as they are at something, is that good enough? Or 80%? Or does it have to be 100%? Because if it has to be 100%, they're going to wind up as this woman I was describing.
Yeah, you were going to tell
Instead of being CEO, she was really the acting manager of each function.
And you were going to tell us about some of how she made the transition and how it turned out for her.
Well, the way I like to do coaching is with very specific real-life transactions and events that have been occurring. So we had a conversation about something she did with one of her direct reports, a meeting that she had in which she was telling her what to do, telling this person what to do and how to do it. And I said, well, let's do a thought experiment. That's one of two tools, which is to imagine the next meeting. And play out in your mind the next scheduled meeting with this person and examine the risk of putting the burden on them to create the agenda for the meeting, for making the case for something that you want to do, for doing the deep dive of tough, detailed questions that you would normally do.
Right.
Can you live with that? Can you put that burden back on them? And can you live with 80% or 90% performance, two or three shots in a row, as long as it's not betting the ranch? Think it through and imagine what that would be like. And we did that two or three times, and then for one of the following meetings that she had with this person who runs one of the two divisions in her company, we designed a real-time experiment, what I call a field experiment. So she met with this person, and she put the burden on her, and she asked before she had this meeting, how am I going to show up? What do I want this person to feel when we're finished with this meeting? Is this meeting just about getting that specific task done? Or is it about growing this person so over 5, 6, 7 meetings we have during the course of several months, I can get this person to show and stretch their own thinking and judgment, and I'll know what's inside their head. Mm-hmm. I'll know how good they are or not. It isn't just by the task they're doing.
Well,
and she met with this person the next time, and she came back almost giddy because she had said, well, what do you think this division should be like, and what do you want the customers to say about it a year from now? And she found that this person who was taking orders and taking instructions and being literal and never taking any risk
right.
had a brain, actually had some thoughts. And over time, she's given this person more and more latitude. It varies by individual. You're not comfortable giving
right.
everybody
right.
latitude. But she's given this person much more latitude over the last 6 to 8 months. And it has freed her up, the boss, to do the things that only the boss can do. There's a bunch of things that only the CEO,
right.
the boss, the owner
That's
knows.
That's exactly right.
Because they deal with people nobody else deals with. They know things nobody else knows. And if you're down in the trenches doing or managing instead of leading, you don't have time for that.
Well, that's exactly right. Every CEO has got to fire themselves from a job that somebody else can do and take on a new job that nobody else can do, as you said. A couple of things that I'd like to point out to people is you're not going to be successful. You're not going to find the success that you probably are seeking if you can't achieve the aggregation of the efforts of other people, which is what happens when you bring people into your business and leverage their efforts and their brain power. You've got to be able to do that, but you can't make that happen if you always seek perfection. And that's the reason why, Stephen, you know, on this show I say all the time, seek excellence, not perfection. Your people can't be perfect like you, but they can be excellent. And I think if you can focus on those two things, I think that helps people get a little farther away from micromanaging. What do you think?
Well, you use a good word there when you say aggregators of other people's efforts, because delegation sometimes has the flavor to it that you're
right.
delegating
right.
a task. And that's not how businesses and companies grow, by delegating tasks. The way they grow is by aggregating everybody's efforts as individuals and as a team. And if you can get people, individuals around the table, to step up and not only do the task you're handing them, but to figure out what the next task is, or to figure out something or see something that you haven't seen, because even as good as the business owners are, they're not perfect. And if you get people who are willing to take ownership of the business themselves as part of the team and are willing to push back on the boss from time to time,
mm-hmm.
then you have a much better situation than if you have robots.
Well, delegation is typically, you think of it as one person being allowed to do what they do. Aggregation is when all those jobs come together in one force. And I think your point is well taken. We need to think more, folks, about aggregation and less about delegation. And remember, none of that works if you aren't prepared to seek excellence and rather than perfection. Tim Tebow,
right.
right back with Stephen Baum. More to come after these messages. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.